Since several people had asked about the retreat that I was on last weekend, what it all entailed, I can tell you a bit about that before beginning the homily. You've probably heard from other people about this ACTS retreat. The acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, stands for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. It's basically a lay-led organization, or a lay-led retreat, by lay people for lay people, that was born from Crucio. Many of you know, have made the Crucio at one point in your lives. They're very similar in many ways. The greatest difference between the two, as was explained to us, is that while Crucio tends to foster an individual's own personal spirituality and their own personal relationship with the Lord, the ACTS retreat will take that and make it more community-focused, the transformation of the person and what they can do for the church and the wider community. So the prayer services and all were very good. The substance was good. The important part for myself as a priest, of course, is that I got to see what was going on. That's basically why I made this retreat, because Father Tom Voorhees and I would both like to see ACTS come to Evangeline Parish. It's benefited many, many people in other places. It would certainly benefit us here. And so they asked that we make the retreat, first of all, to see what's going on. And I guess the best analogy is that I saw a lot of tough eggs that got cracked that weekend. So a lot of men, there were 35 altogether who were on retreat, 35 men who were giving this retreat on team, many of them give their personal testimonies, but men who were there because somebody else suggested that they go, but their wives almost forced them to go, that kind of a thing. But you saw transformation in a lot of these guys, and that was probably the most moving thing, to see their relationship, their devotion, their faith deepen over those few days. So please keep those guys in your prayers and pray for those who will be making that retreat. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to talk about that. The first one that we're having for Vilplatte will be in March, in the middle of Lent of this coming year. Yesterday was the feast of St. Robert Bellarmine, a 16th century Jesuit, theologian, and cardinal who wrote this. If you are wise, then know that you have been created for the glory of God and your own eternal salvation. This is your goal. This is the center of your life. This is the treasure of your heart. May you consider truly good whatever leads you to your goal, and truly evil whatever takes you away from it. Prosperity and adversity, wealth and poverty, health and sickness, honors and humiliations, life and death, in the mind of the wise person, are not to be sought after for their own sake, nor to be avoided for their own sake. But if they contribute to the glory of God and to your salvation, then they are good, and they should be sought. If not, then they are evil and must be avoided. In the first reading from the prophet Amos, we see the horrible exploitation of the poor and the weak by immoral and ruthless merchants and profiteers. People who despise the needy and will make money off of them. We see a great and gross abuse of human dignity with that. We see these people tampering with scales, showing their dishonesty and their cheating. We see them selling defective goods, showing their deceit or lying. Raising prices, taking advantage of shortages. Crafty, cold, and calculating, these men exemplify the idolatry of riches, the worship of money, as Jesus referred to worshiping mammon, that is, the god of fortune of the Canaanites. There's an unholy alliance there that Jesus talks about as well, of shady business deals in the pursuit of profiting oneself alone, all these things for the sake of ill-gotten personal gain. We see the same thing in modern times, don't we? We notice that all the time. People who pour lots of time, lots of energy into earthly affairs, whether it be for their business, all kinds of time and energy into sports, illicit romantic relationships, into shopping sprees, overemphasis on fashion, houses, cars, on and on and on. People constantly dreaming about nothing else but power and position and, well, stuff. They strive for that, for wealth and possessions. Usually these persons are very bent on pleasure, having a sensually good time. This can happen to anybody, and it happens to everybody at one point. We get tempted by that, whether you're male or female, poor or rich, young, old, middle-aged, whether you have plenty enough already or don't have enough at all and get jealous of those who do. It affects everybody, even children. I heard a five-year-old telling their parents that they wanted an iPhone for Christmas. What's a five-year-old going to do with an iPhone, really? But that's the mentality of the culture in which we live. And sadly, I've even seen that happen in priests and religious. People who are supposed to live a life of poverty and self-sacrifice get caught up in this temptation. It's powerful. It's strong. And we're all too well accustomed to seeing people make unbelievable sacrifices to improve their lifestyles this way, trying to heighten their standards of living and the lengths that they'll go through to do it. Back in the 80s, there was a TV program, which is basically how people want to base their lives today, had the lifestyles of the rich and famous. But think about it. What if we were to take that same amount of time, that same amount of energy, and put that into the service of Christ? Take that same amount of time and energy and put that into the service of Christ, into improving ourselves as persons, becoming better persons, improving our character, correcting our faults, into living, as St. Paul said, a very quiet and peaceful life with devotion and dignity. What if we could do that? As the Lord warns us, no servant can be at the service of two masters simultaneously. You will hate one and love the other. We must be reminded that there is only one God, there is one Lord, and this one Lord has given us only this one life. Question is, what are we going to do with this one life which the one Lord has given us? Are we going to lovingly and willingly serve Christ as he asks, with our whole being, with all our hearts, doing so with all the natural gifts and talents that he's given us, with the material blessings he has allowed us, whatever they are? Are we directing everything about our lives to his honor and the good of our neighbor as well as our own good? Everything. Our work, our leisure, our plans, our goals, do we give all things, putting them in his hands? We cannot be, my brothers and sisters, like so many people who try to parcel out their lives in such a way that we're going to give this much to God and this much for me, and if there's something left, I'll give it to somebody else. That's not how it works. Either Christ is the Lord of all, or he is not the Lord at all. He is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. He is God. Everything is his. All is his. Therefore, the whole of your life and mine, the whole of Christian life, must be lived with that intention, that all will be his. Desiring only what is right and only what is just. Consciously willing to avoid sin and to do what is good. Whatever is going to give glory to God, whatever benefits our neighbor and makes us holy. Makes us holy. It's a life of thoughtful prayer, of justice, of charity. We are called as Christians to drown out evil with an ocean of grace. Drown out evil with an ocean of grace. So I'll go back to the words of St. Robert Bellarmine. If you are wise, then know that you have been created for the glory of God and your own eternal salvation. This is your goal. This is the center of your life. This is the treasure of your heart. May you consider truly good whatever leads you to your goal, and truly evil whatever takes you away from it. Prosperity and adversity, wealth and poverty, health and sickness, honors and humiliations, life and death, in the mind of the wise person, are not to be sought after for their own sake, nor be avoided for their own sake. But if these things contribute to the glory of God and to your salvation, then they are good and should be sought. If not, they are evil and must be avoided. The question is, whom do we serve? Why do we serve him? If not for Christ and his own sake, then why serve at all?